but not once had I heard of him healing anyone. Raphael looked at the floor.
For purely selfish reasons, if I heal anyone in a miraculous way, I can't go home.
The way he'd said home was heartbreaking, like he longed so much to go back to where he came from. Mr. Claymore had alluded to something similar, but to hear Raphael say it was crazy. I sank back farther into the couch.
What?
That was asinine. Once again, I wanted to inform him that he was the Archangel of Healing. How could he carry that title if he never actually healed anyone? Raphael shook his wings a little, as if shaking off old memories.
It is my penance for starting the Fallen War.
His voice was so soft, I wasn't sure I'd heard him right.
Wait, you started the war?
Now I was sitting forward so far, I was afraid I might fall off. I heard in Fallen History class that Lucifer tried to break into heaven with his demons, and you and the other angels met them halfway, stopping them. Raphael nodded.
Partly true. Lucifer first came to Earth with his demons and started to terrorize the humans. I left my home without permission and intervened against free will.
My mouth popped open. Free will was super important to the four archangels. The way Raphael said it made it sound like he'd committed a heinous crime. I was enthralled. Then what happened? Raphael ran a hand through his hair.
My best friends followed me down here and fought by my side, thus starting the Fallen War.
Whoa. But if you hadn't come down here, humanity would be completely enslaved by Lucifer. Raphael arched one eyebrow slightly, like maybe that wasn't the truth.
Lucifer was once my friend. Did you know that?
He asked me. Now that did shock me. I knew he was an angel too once. Raphael nodded, staring out the window, seemingly lost in old times.
I should not have robbed humanity of the spiritual development they would gain from fighting Lucifer on their own, for they are more than capable.
His words gave me chills. Humans? They're the weakest race alive.
No, they're not weak.
Freaking mind reader. But you were helping. I defended him. He sighed.
Part of me was helping, but part of me wanted to get back at my old friend for leaving. Show him how powerful I was, how capable of protecting the humans I was. I fought out of anger and resentment.
Oh. I sat back. Yikes. That didn't sound good. It sounded quite familiar, actually. He shook his head.
And so, to prove his power, instead of the dozen or so demons he'd brought up to Earth that night, Lucifer unleashed thousands, and we fought. We infected humanity, and it was all my fault.
I slid off the couch and knelt before the fallen angel. His whole body was sunken in, his expression defeated. Grasping his hands, I looked into his deep blue eyes.
I forgive you.
Those words seemed to unlock something in my chest, and a sob racked me from head to toe. For my dad, for the war, for all of it.
I forgive you.
His face contorted as he seemingly held back tears. Then the angel's arms came up and embraced me in a hug. I suddenly felt lighter, as if a 50-pound weight I'd been carrying all this time had finally fallen off. When we pulled back, I saw we were both crying. I laughed and wiped my eyes.
I have so many more questions, so many things I don't understand.
Like, if the other side, or heaven, was so great, then why did they come here at all? Raphael chuckled.
There is nothing I could say to answer those questions that your earthly mind would understand fully. It's hard to comprehend on this side of the veil.
The veil? They'd referred to that in my Fallen History class. It meant while I was alive, I wouldn't understand. When I died and crossed the veil to the other side, all would be revealed, or some philosophical shit along those lines.
Okay, one more question.
I held up a finger. Raphael smiled.
Okay.
Is reincarnation real? Because growing up, we had a dog, Pepper, that drowned. Yet, not a year later, we got a new puppy. And it had all the same mannerisms and personality. I swear it was the same dog, so we named it Salt. Raphael chuckled good-naturedly.
Yes, of course reincarnation is real. You think you can figure it all out and learn your soul's lesson in one tiny human lifetime?
Whoa. My mind was blown.
This is intense. Ask him if Michael has a human wife, Sarah commented. I nearly jumped, having forgotten she was with me. Does Michael have a human wife? I blurted out the rumor about the most popular archangel. Roth's eyes glittered. Are you going to keep my answer confidential? My mouth popped open. He does? The archangel nodded. And a daughter. What? How old is she? Where do they live? How long have they been married? Is his daughter human or... Raphael's belly laugh stopped me in my tracks. I think it's time you got back to class. He stood swiftly, pulling me up by the hands as he did. Damn, I was so close to learning all the answers to life's most sought-after questions. Raphael patted my shoulder. Some of life's most satisfying answers come from things we learn ourselves. Ugh, boring. My eyes bugged out suddenly as a new thought came to me. Was my dad reincarnated? Is he a kid walking around somewhere on Earth? Raphael smiled again and shrugged. Probably not. He'd want to wait for your mother before reincarnating again, since they're soulmates. The wind was knocked out of me at that simple yet sweet declaration. Are. He'd said they are soulmates, not were. Like my dad wasn't really dead. Of course, I muttered, trying to hold my shit together. I'd cried way too much for one visit. I grabbed my bag as Raphael scribbled a note for me. When he handed it to me, he beamed. Brielle, may you sleep soundly tonight. And I did. I slept without any dreams at all, just a deep, restful sleep, and a knowing that the darkness within me was no longer being fed. It had actually retreated. Chapter 22. It was Friday morning, the day before Lincoln's big shindig, and I awoke to a grinning Shay hanging over my bed with a note. Jeez, you scared me. I shrank back into my pillow as her psycho grin ramped up a notch. This was slid under our door in the early hours, she squealed. I sat up, yawning, and plucked the envelope from Shay's grasp. It was some thick fancy cardstock, and when I pulled it out, I grinned, recognizing the handwriting immediately. What? The most epic, random date night of your life. When? Tonight. 7. Why? Because I love you. Am I stupid smiling? I asked Shay, who was peeking over my shoulder. She nodded. Totally. I sighed. Why is he so perfect? Shay shrugged. I don't know, but Noah could take some notes in the romance department. His idea of a date night is watching old Predator movies and winking at me while we eat stale popcorn. I chuckled. But you've finally had sex. She swooned and fell on her bed. Finally. And it's amazing. And I think we're going to win this sex Olympics. I laughed so hard my stomach started to hurt. How am I supposed to get through classes today knowing Lincoln is taking me on some special date? I stood and started to rifle through my closet, looking for the perfect outfit to wear tonight. I'd say we should ditch, but today we learned to shoot guns in weapons class. And no way in hell am I missing that, Shay declared. Totally, I agreed. And if I accidentally shoot Tiffany in the foot. Oopsie, Shay added. The Tiffany war was in full effect once again. She was constantly calling us nasty names and trying to get in the way of our successes. Recently, she'd been part to helping Shay fail in an important magical exam. That girl was downright evil. All right, I'm in a shower. I'll see you at breakfast, I told my bestie. She nodded and picked up the note Lincoln had sent. You guys are lucky to have found each other. We were. I focused on that thought all day. Lincoln had rented a limo. He'd also hired private security to shadow us to the fanciest restaurant in Angel City. As we waited for the check, he peered at me with his crystalline blue eyes. One more stop before we head home, okay? We could make 10 more stops before home. I didn't care. This was the best night of my life. After he paid the bill and we climbed back into the limo, I watched as it headed away from the city I knew and into unfamiliar territory. Our SUV of security guards was right behind us. Where are we going? I asked. It was fully dark out now, and the streets and highways were hard to make out, especially since I hadn't exactly traveled around Angel City much. He grinned at me devilishly. You'll see. Ugh. I wiggled in my seat. Patience was so not my virtue. When the limo slowed and pulled up to two very large, extremely familiar gates, my throat tightened with emotion. Lincoln's hand slid across the seat and rested in mine with a squeeze. We were at the cemetery where my dad had been buried. I hadn't been there in years, not since we'd laid him to rest. The limo seemed to know just where to go. "You've been talking to my mom a lot, I see." He chuckled.
"Perk of living with your mom, besides the food, is that she'll tell me anything I want to know about you."
My heart was fluttering like crazy in my chest. The limo pulled right up to the area he was buried in, and I saw a strip of tea lights laid out, leading our path to his grave. Lincoln must have spent all day planning this. He turned to me.
"So, I've met your mom, your brother, and your best friend. I wanted to make it complete and meet your dad, too."
"Don't sob. You're cool. Keep your shit together." Tears were leaking from my eyes as I tried not to let it turn into a full-on ugly cry.
"I'm totally crying, too," Sarah offered.
"What? That's not possible," I told her. "I have yet to meet your family," I answered Lincoln. He brushed my hair away from my shoulder.
"Next weekend?"
he asked, and I nodded. Lincoln helped me out of the limo, and we walked hand in hand along the tea lights to my father's grave, which was adorned with fresh flowers and a lantern.
"Hey, Dad,"
I whimpered, falling to my knees before his headstone. I had so many amazing memories of this man. He was the even-tempered one, while my mom was the punisher. My dad was the silly one, always playing pranks and lightening my mom up because she was an overly serious worrier. My dad was a dreamer, a risk-taker, a unique soul. We'd only had a fraction of the time together that we deserved, but enough for me to hang on to those precious memories. I was scanning my father's headstone when I noticed something shiny on top of it. Shiny, like a diamond. My breath caught, and I turned around to see Lincoln on one knee.
"Riel, I know you're young, still in school, and you also have a lot of life to live before settling down. But you and I are the same age my mom and dad were when he got her a promise ring, so I thought..."
He looked nervously at the ring on the headstone.
"This is my promise to you, that when you're done with school, when you're ready, I will marry you and have a family with you, and try to make you happy for the rest of your life, if you'll have me."
I burst into ugly tears and threw myself at him, wrapping my arms around his neck and peppering his face with wet kisses.
"Is that a yes?"
he asked when I came up for air. Laughter spilled out of me. "Yes, hell yes," I shouted. "Marry Lincoln one day and have his babies? Sign me up." He reached over and pulled the ring from the top of the headstone, slipping it onto my finger. It was a delicate diamond baguette band with blue and white stones. It was perfect. He was perfect. And even though getting engaged in the cemetery might have been creepy to some people, this was perfect. My fingers slipped through his hair, relishing in the moment. Nothing could ruin it for me. Not my stupid devil mark, not the two prophecies, nothing.
"Oh, isn't that sweet?"
Lucifer's voice dripped with sarcasm from behind me, and I gasped. Fear shot through my body, making my knees go weak. Before I could even process the voice I'd just heard, Lincoln burst into action, throwing me behind him and pulling his sword. I tumbled with a sudden movement and fell to the grass. Looking up, I saw the Prince of Darkness, dressed in a three-piece suit, both arms fully attached to his body. He grew his freaking arm back. The last time I saw it, Lincoln had hacked it off. Our security team of four fallen army warriors now felt pathetically small. They'd obviously just realized what the hell was happening and were running toward us with guns drawn. Lucifer pulled a flaming orange sword, and with a gleam in his eye, he lunged at the love of my life. Lincoln dodged out of the way and brought his own glowing sword down on the dark princes. Lucifer was battling Lincoln, sword against fiery sword, and I didn't like it. Not one bit. One wrong move and Lincoln could be gored to death. Kicking off my high heels, I stood and gathered my magic within me, pulling on that fizzy light magic and letting it bubble to the surface. With a grunt, I thrust my hands outward, gathering all the light magic I could, and then pushed it outward. I pushed so hard, I felt dizzy. A huge celestial orb flew from my hands.
but it wasn't all white like the one I had produced in Mr. Reinkor's classroom. This one was half golden yellow, half inky black. Shit, I still had some anger and resentment to work through, and it was all toward the person before me. If you could even call Lucifer a person. Bullets started to fly, and I pulled Sarah from my thigh holster. "Dip me in the light magic," she instructed. Taking two steps forward, I slid Sarah into the floating ball in the air, careful only to let the honey-colored light cover her blade. The bullets suddenly stopped, and I peered over my shoulder to see a handful of upper-level demons had shown up to take care of our security detail. "No." "That's my future husband," I told Sarah. "Protect him." Just then, black tentacles sprang from Lucifer's back and wrapped around Lincoln's body. He screamed in agony as they tightened around him, and I could hear the sound of snapping bones as Lincoln's wings were rent backward by the dark bands. "No!" I shouted, and aimed Sarah at Lincoln. Identical tentacles, but of white light, leapt out from my blade and attached themselves to the black bands holding Lincoln. The white cords yanked at the black ones, loosening their hold on my love. "Leave me. I'll protect him. You grab Lincoln's sword and fight," Sarah instructed. She'd never led me astray before, so I let go of her, surprised to see she was able to keep herself hovering in midair on her own. Those golden light bands were breaking down the black ones that held Lincoln. Seeing what I was doing, Lucifer suddenly detached from his black tentacles and made a run for me. Bending down, I swooped up Lincoln's sword and lunged to dip it in the celestial orb I'd made. When I pulled it out, it was covered in 12-inch bluish-golden flames. Lucifer laughed behind me.
"You think a little celestial fire is going to kill me?"
I spun, holding the sword before me. Those black eyes bored into mine, and I felt a sickness wash over me from head to toe. "Let him go!" I shouted. Lincoln was pulling at the cords, screaming in pain. Lucifer smiled devilishly.
"Done."
He snapped his fingers and Lincoln fell to the ground. The bands had disappeared.
"Come with me. It's your destiny,"
the Prince of Darkness cooed. And just like that, a portal opened behind him. Not in a million freaking years. My wings popped out of my back, and I slowly started to walk backward to Lincoln. I opened my free right hand and used the ability Michael had taught me, calling Sarah to me. When I felt the cold steel in my palm, I wrapped my fingers tightly around her. "I'm not going anywhere with you. Ever," I told the epic douchebag who'd just messed up my proposal. Lincoln was now standing beside me, limping, rather, and I handed him his sword. Lucifer grinned.
"It's really touching that you two think you can keep me from getting what I want."
A twig cracked behind me, and I peered over my shoulder to see half a dozen caster demons and a few hellhounds. Our guards looked either knocked out or dead, and it seemed one had even run off. My stomach fell. No, no one was taking Lincoln or me anywhere. The urgency of the situation pressed in on me, and something inside of me snapped. I thrust Sarah forward, and she shot a blinding light into the Dark Prince's face, causing him to yelp in surprise and cover his eyes. Then, a white-hot whip of celestial light flew from my palm and wrapped around the devil's neck. I yanked and he fell forward, but only for a second before his wings burst from his back, and then he was skyborne. With a jerk, I was pulled up with him, hanging from the whip in my hand that was still around his throat. Shit. I pumped my own wings, trying to use the strength of my flapping to pull Lucifer back down to earth.
"Brielle!"
Lincoln shouted helplessly from the ground. The hellhounds howled, and panic fully gripped me. My flapping was no use. I was being dragged higher and higher, and when I looked up, I saw the Dark Prince was pulling on my whip like a rope, drawing me closer to him, even though it seemed to be burning his hands. "Let go! Fly to Fallen Academy," Sarah instructed. I dissolved the whip as she told me to, and the loss of tension sent both of us flinging apart. Using the momentum, I raced to the ground, where Lincoln was throwing a hellhound into the celestial orb I'd created. We weren't going to get out of here alive by driving, and I wasn't leaving Lincoln and his broken wings while I flew off to safety. "Oh no, don't!" Sarah had obviously heard my thoughts. When I was within arm's reach of my man, I hooked my hands underneath his armpits and hauled him up into the air,
flying awkwardly with him dangling from between my legs.
"Brielle, no! I'm too heavy!"
Lincoln roared, as I skimmed the tree line and left the cemetery. He was heavy. It felt like I was carrying a car. But I was also pumped with mommy juice, the stuff mothers had when they protected their child or loved one. I had it right then, coursing through my veins in a rush. I could have lifted a freaking semi off a baby deer if I'd had to.
"Mind over matter," I spit out.
I was pretty sure I'd given myself a hernia, as something in my stomach felt like it had ripped when I lifted him. But I'd deal with that later.
"You won't make it to Fallen Academy. Go into the war zone. Michael is on patrol tonight,"
Lincoln called out over the wind. I could see the wall and the fiery war just behind it to my right, much closer than Fallen Academy. Flapping my wings in that direction, I veered us toward the war and prayed Michael would be there to rescue me. I just remembered that I'd created a celestial orb, and I was going to crash very soon. Just then, something wrapped around my ankle, jerking me backward. The sudden movement caused Lincoln to slip in my arms, and I dropped him. I dropped him right over the war zone.
"Oh, God."
"Lincoln!" I screamed until my voice was hoarse. It was only about a 20-foot drop, but his wings were an out. At this height, will he break his legs? Oh, Lincoln.
"Like I said, you're coming with me," Lucifer called from behind me.
"Castrate him already," Sarah screamed, flaring to life. Anger snapped inside of me, and I felt the darkness blaze within me. Raphael was right. I was feeding the darkness. I was angry, but not at the world, or Raphael, or even God. I was mad at this asshole right in front of me.
"Ah!"
I screamed, as my face shook with rage and hot black magic flew from my throat, wrapping around Lucifer's head. The second it hit his face, it dissolved, as if it were unable to harm him. Oh, frick.
"Yes!"
Lucifer shouted with pride, pulling on the black rope that held my ankle.
"You will make a great archdemon,"
he purred. Archdemon. It's true? This whole time, it was true. Tiffany's stupid blonde face popped into my head then, and I wanted to cry.
"No, she won't,"
a familiar voice called out, and then a streak of blue light cut through the black band around my leg, like it was lightning.
"Hello, old friend."
Lucifer grinned in Archangel Michael's direction. Michael wasted no words, just flew at the devil blindingly fast until they crashed together like two meteors exploding in the sky. That's when the fatigue hit me. The celestial ball, flying with Lincoln, it had zapped every last ounce of energy I possessed, and suddenly I was falling. Landing in Lincoln's arms was the last thing I saw. Chapter 23. When I came to, there were hushed voices. My mouth felt dry, and I had practically melted into the bed with exhaustion. Peeling my eyes open, I saw it actually wasn't a bed, but a sleeping bag, and I was in a tent.
"I think he's fled back to the underworld."
Lincoln's voice was strong, and I nearly cried hearing it. He was okay.
"I'm not taking any chances. The other archangels are coming out to escort Brielle back to the academy, which is where she'll need to stay."
Michael's voice was fatigued and sharp.
"Yes, thank you, sir,"
Lincoln replied. "Link," I mumbled loudly, wondering how many hours had passed. I needed water and a 10-hour nap. Lincoln burst into the tent then, and I was surprised to see he looked relatively unharmed.
"You're okay,"
he breathed. I nodded. If by okay he meant the devil was chasing me and I felt like I'd been hit by a truck, then yeah, I was okay. He knelt down beside me. "What happened?"
"Lucifer, your wings,"
I asked, sitting up slowly. I reached down to my thigh to do a quick check and make sure Sarah was still with me. Then my eyes fell to the small diamond band on my left finger, and I smiled.
"I'm promised."
Lincoln rolled out his shoulder.
"They're broken, but Noah says they'll heal in time. I just can't use them."
He was a soldier. Without his wings, he could get hurt. "Lucifer?" I asked again. Anger lit up Lincoln's face.
"Gone for now. But Brielle..."
He was having a hard time composing himself. I nodded. "I heard. I can't leave Fallen Academy for a while." His eyes went cobalt.
Forever. I recoiled. What? Lincoln grasped my hands.
Riel, it's the only place you can be safe.
I puffed air through my teeth. I'm a fallen army soldier. How can I help with the war if I'm hiding on campus? Lincoln sighed and looked out the tent's open flap.
You can run the healing clinic, or advise.
Advise? What the hell did that even mean? I knew he was trying to help, and I did want to focus on my healing studies. But I also wanted to be out there, in the war zones, ferrying the people into Angel City.
So I just hide for the rest of my life?
My voice felt hollow, and in that moment, the Dark Prince's words came back to me.
Archdemon. I'm an archdemon.
Oh, hooey. What does that shit for brains know? Sarah voiced. But I couldn't get that dark thought out of my mind. It had latched on tightly, and now I felt it would consume me. Lincoln ran a hand through his hair.
No, you can't hide for the rest of your life. Look, we'll figure this out, okay? For the next 2 years, you'll stay on campus and... we'll figure this out.
2 years? Can I still sleep over on weekends? Technically, his apartment was just off campus. He swallowed hard.
The demon alarm doesn't extend to my apartment complex, so...
My face fell. Next year, everyone would be getting apartments, and I'd be stuck in the dorms.
But I'll see about getting you your own room. Or I'll buy you a trailer, he rambled.
He was being agreeable, so I would decide to stay on campus. I knew him too well. But I also didn't want to get kidnapped by the devil and taken to hell to do God knew what and become an archdemon. I just nodded. I'd do what was best for me and for Lincoln.
Good girl, Sarah agreed.
There was a bright light at the tent opening, and then Raphael was ducking his head in to peek inside. His chest was adorned in full, gold-plated armor, and his hair was slicked back into a ponytail. I'd never seen him battle-ready, but he looked menacing.
Hello, Brielle. Let's get you home.
Nodding once more, I stood with Lincoln's help, and then walked out of the tent to greet the four archangels. The first thing I saw was Michael's face and hair streaked with black oil and soot. When he saw me approach, he bowed slightly.
Brave Brielle, I'm very proud of what you did.
My eyes widened, and I just barely resisted the urge to look over my shoulder and see if he was talking to someone else. I'd made a half-good, half-evil orb, then wussed out and flew away. What could he possibly be proud of? Michael seemed to read my thoughts.
Lucifer invokes fear in people, but you didn't cow. You fought, and then, when you knew it would be useless to fight any longer, you retreated.
All of the archangels nodded in agreement.
Carrying Lincoln that high and that far, it takes tremendous strength, Raphael added.
Mommy juice. I guess so. I was too tired to argue. I looked around, wondering if I'd see a car waiting to take me home. We were in a parking lot of what was once a grocery store, and now it seemed to be a temporary military setup. The only cars were a few military-issued SUVs, but they were far off the lot.
I'm not sure I can walk that far. I'm so exhausted,
I told the crowd of powerful archangels, with a bit of shame. Michael stepped forward, wings fully extended.
We'll be flying back to the academy. All of the roads are on lockdown after Lucifer led a bunch of demons into Angel City. The army is still trying to gather them up. Flying is safer.
I wasn't sure I could fly back to the academy either. As if he'd heard that thought, Lincoln stepped forward.
She's too weak to fly. Michael, can you carry her?
Lincoln asked the tall, blonde, and extremely gorgeous archangel.
Of course.
Michael stepped closer to me. I swallowed nervously. Being the damsel in distress wasn't my thing, but I was about to fall over. Lincoln rushed forward, pressing a tender but chaste kiss to my lips.
I'll check in on you later, he promised.
Michael nodded to Lincoln.
Hold down the fort until I'm back.
Lincoln raised a hand and saluted him.
Of course, sir.
Then Michael was there, gathering me in his arms, and with one kick of his boot, we were airborne. Next thing I knew, Raphael, Gabriel, and the elusive Uriel were flying with us in a protective formation. I loved Lincoln, I did, and I knew Michael was married. But damn if the situation wasn't a little swoon-worthy. Being ferried across the sky in a strong archangel's arms, I could definitely cross it off my bucket list.
After a short flight, we were landing in the quad where a few students were still milling around. Shay, one of them. Lincoln must have called her. Her eyes were red-rimmed, evidence that she must have been worried and crying. As Michael set me down, I looked at each one of the archangels and thanked them. Michael had been the only one to hear Lucifer's words about me being an archdemon, and our gazes lingered a little longer than the others as something unspoken passed between us. That look told me he wouldn't tell anyone what the Prince of Darkness had said. As they flew away, all but Roth, who walked back to his office, Shay thrust herself at me in a bone-crunching hug.
What the hell, Bree? One second Lincoln tells me he's proposing to you tonight, and the next he calls and says the freaking devil crashed your engagement.
Tears lined my eyes as I looked at my best friend's worried gaze. Holding up my hand to show her the ring, I smiled. I said yes. We both let out a pathetic laugh, and then she was pulling me toward the open, bright hall doors.
Dude, your mom is worried sick,
Shay informed me as we walked through the halls. Lots and lots of staring at me confirmed that the rumor mill was in full effect. Tiffany's stare was the only one that got to me, though. If she calls me Archie, I'll kill her dead right here and now. I lifted my left hand in her direction to show off the ring, and the look she gave me confirmed that she was definitely capable of murder as well.
Did you guys know Lincoln was going to propose?
I asked my bestie. She scoffed.
Of course. He sat your mom, Mikey, and me down and asked us all.
My heart nearly melted at her words.
He was the best.
When Shay threw open the door to our shared room, I was assaulted with white balloons and toilet paper streamers. Purple magical writing hung in the air above my head. Congrats. But the sullen faces of Luke, Chloe, my mom, and Mikey were a different story.
Hey.
I wasn't sure what else to say. My mom rushed forward to pull me into a hug.
What happened? Are you okay? Did he hurt you?
I really, really didn't want to talk about it right then.
I'm fine, I told her,
and she backed away two steps, seemingly taking the hint. I held up my hand awkwardly and smiled. So Lincoln proposed, or kind of, promised, if that's a thing. We're getting married in like 3 to 5 years, I told the group. That seemed to loosen them up. Chloe burst forward with her vampire-like speed and inspected the ring.
Oh my god, I'm so jelly. Promise rings are adorable.
I chuckled. Luke was next.
I'm super happy for you, and I know this is all about you, but something happened that I've been dying to tell you guys.
Yes, please take the spotlight off me.
Spill it. I sat on the edge of my bed because if I didn't, I was going to fall over. Luke looked at Chloe a little awkwardly and then chewed his lip.
Donnie asked me out to a movie with a few of his friends, and I'm freaking out.
He jumped up and down like a lunatic. I grinned. That's awesome. Is it like a friendly group hang, or... Luke looked desperately at Chloe.
I don't know. He said, you want to catch a flick with me and my buddies, Tommy and Bam?
Chloe nodded, impressed. Tommy and Bam are dating, so it's totally a double date. The shriek that left Luke's throat was akin to a dolphin trying to find its mother.
I'm going to faint,
he breathed. I laughed. As did everyone else. Even my mother was laughing.
Thanks for being here, guys. I love you all, I told my friends, as the exhaustion hit me full steam.
Lying back on my pillow, I tried to keep my eyes open, but failed. The last thing I saw was my mother tucking the blanket around me and telling everyone I needed my rest. Even at 20 years old, a girl still needs her mom.
Chapter 24.
The next morning, I awoke to a strong hand massaging my back. I inhaled and smelled bacon and coffee. My eyelids snapped open and drank in the sight of my man. Lincoln was sitting on my dorm room bed, rubbing my back in slow, soothing circles.
Hey, it's afternoon. I wanted to make sure you were okay, he whispered.
I eyed the milky coffee, the plate of eggs and bacon on my dresser, and nodded.
I'm fine now, I declared, shoving two full strips of bacon in my mouth in one go.
If a man brought you coffee and bacon in bed, you marry that man. Lincoln chuckled.
I'm glad to hear it.
He wrapped his hand around my left one and spun the ring on my finger.
Not exactly how I thought that night was going to end.
Yeah, tell me about it. He looked around the room at the balloons and toilet paper.
At least it looks like you got a little celebration.
I chugged the coffee, feeling my soul finally join my body. Something only coffee was capable of doing. This is my life. Black wings, devil marks, and what happened last night. I wanted him to know what he was in for. Lincoln frowned.
But it won't always be. This war is going to end, and we're going to live forever, really.
Forever? Whoa. I'd conveniently forgotten about the immortality thing. Live forever, unless killed. I nodded. But if it doesn't, then I'm always going to be hunted by him.
Him. I couldn't even say his name anymore.
Lincoln shrugged.
Then we'll deal with it. Together.
I sighed, nuzzling my head into his neck. He always knew the perfect thing to say. Tonight was Lincoln's surprise captain's promotion. I glanced at the clock to see it was already 3. I'd slept all day.
No more celestial balls. Bad idea. Not worth it, Sarah exclaimed.
Agreed.
I should shower, I told Lincoln, and peeled back my covers.
He looked at my bare legs and his eyes hooded.
I could use a shower too.
He scooped me into his arms, lifting me off the bed. Laughter erupted from my belly as he walked me into the bathroom. Threading my fingers through his hair, I couldn't help but appreciate how perfect Lincoln Gray was in that moment. I wanted to freeze it and capture it forever. That night, Noah snuck me into the reception hall, and I sat at the large, white cloth-covered table with Lincoln's closest friends. Lincoln had been on the stage under the guise that he was helping Raphael honor some other fallen army soldiers, which they did. But when Raphael introduced his surprise promotion, I started to cry. He'd listed off my man's achievements, including the numerous lives he'd saved, and families he'd brought to the safety of Angel City. It was a beautiful ceremony, and when Lincoln saw I was there, he beamed with pride. Now we were all at the after-party. The Archangels had gone home, the music was loud, and Shay, Luke, and Chloe had officially crashed the party. I was dancing with Lincoln when he leaned into my ear.
I'm thirsty. Want a drink?
I nodded. As he made his way off the dance floor, Shay twerked her way over to me, much to the dismay of Noah, who had been grinding up on her.
So, I've been thinking, Shay shouted over the music. If you're stuck on campus for the next few years, I'd bet we could convince Roth to give us our own dorm rooms next year, right next to each other.
I smiled. Really? You'd stay in the lame dorms with me, even though everyone else will be getting apartments? Shay nodded.
What can I say? I'm just that good of a friend.
I laughed. She really was, and I told her so. After a nod, she leaned in closer.
Did you hear that the Fallen Academy will only be open a few more years? After that, all the children left will be human.
Her declaration shocked the crap out of me. I quickly did the math and realized she was right. I was 5 when the war started, so 5 years after entering the academy, the last angel-gifted or demon-blessed teen would have their awakening ceremony, and then...
What are they going to do with the school?
I'd completely stopped dancing by that point, enthralled with the conversation. Shay looked left and right, as if she was about to reveal some big secret.
I heard Raphael was going to start a demon hunter academy, training humans.
Whoa. Humans? I mean, no offense to humans, but they were weak little humans. It would be a waste to just have the school sit there, though, and I was sure we'd still need soldiers for the army. I nodded.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Shay was about to respond when the shrill of the demon alarm went off. The music skidded to a halt and my entire body froze. My bestie's eyes widened.
Is that?
She asked with a shaky voice.
Brielle!
Lincoln shouted from across the room. He was looking not at me, but behind me, horror marring his face. I knew then, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Dark Prince was standing behind me, probably with his horde of demons. He wouldn't stop coming for me. I knew that now. I spun on my heels and faced him. Standing in an immaculate suit, not a dark hair out of place, was Lucifer in all his evil glory. His inky black wings were stretched out behind him, and just as I thought, he had an assortment of hellhounds, eudemons, Unabruce, Brimstone, and 3 or 4 nauseating Larkspur demons splayed out beside him. Behind him spun a swirling portal right to hell. I could smell the sulfur from where I stood.
Brielle, my darling.
Lucifer stepped forward, and I moved away from Shay, snapping my wings out to cover her and everyone I loved behind me. Lincoln, Shay, Noah, Chloe, Luke, nearly every person I loved in this world was in the room. Sarah flared to life at my hip, nearly burning my leg. "You have no idea what I'm capable of," she told me menacingly. Holy shit. Well, now would be a good time to show me. All of these people could be hurt because of me. Sarah pulsed as I took her in my hand. "The greatest power on earth is love," she said. And then my arm raised out before me as the demon horde advanced, and a firewall of light shot from Sarah's blade, spreading out like an ocean wave. I had to dig my heels into the wood floors to keep from sliding backward with the powerful thrust that came from her blade. The celestial light rose like a tidal wave, completely saturating the dark prince and his demons. Hissing and screams rang out as the light washed over them. When it passed, Lucifer was standing in a protective black bubble, while the rest of his demons were charred to a crisp. Holy freaking shit. Sarah had been holding out on me, but it hadn't been enough. Lucifer was still standing. Lincoln stepped in front of me suddenly, sword raised.
"Back to hell with you," he roared, then started to run at the Prince of Darkness.
Noah, Blake, and Darren were right behind him.
"Idiots! Lincoln, no!"
The words barely left my mouth when the room exploded. Lucifer clapped his hands together and then thrust them forward, shooting a million tiny shards of black magic into every single person standing, including me. It felt like a dozen tiny arrows had sliced through my body. I fell backward, trying to dodge the black glass-like shards, and that's when Lucifer really brought out the big guns. He lifted his sword into the air, a red fire erupting along the blade, then slammed it down into the hardwood floors, causing an earthquake to split the room into four different pieces. Shay had to jump to avoid falling into the abyss. I saw Lincoln and Noah dive to try to get on the cracked piece that the Dark Prince stood on, but they couldn't, their wings banded to their back with dark magic. Oh God.
"Don't panic," Sarah attempted to calm me.
By the time the room had stopped shaking, Lucifer and I were on the same piece of flooring, only 10 feet from each other, with the portal spinning behind him. He snapped his fingers, and I started to be pulled in his direction against my will.
"Okay, let's panic," Sarah agreed.
"No!"
Lincoln roared, his wings snapped out, pushing against the black bands that bound his arms, the sound of absolute agony ripping from his voice. "They're broken. He's trying to pull out broken wings." I tried to pull my arms up to aim Sarah at the devil, but I couldn't move, completely immobilized. It was at that moment that I realized Lucifer had been toying with me before, taunting me and waiting for me to be trained so he could grab me when he wanted to. He could have easily taken me that first night in the gauntlet, but he let me stay. Let me fall in love with all of these people, train to be a badass killer? And for what? I pumped my wings, trying to fight against the strong pulse of his lure. Shay threw purple spell after purple spell, but they all crashed into his dark shield, breaking up and causing no harm.
"A young girl with black wings will go into the underworld and kill Lucifer, ending the war,"
the Dark Prince sneered, and my stomach dropped. The prophecy. Did he believe it?
"I can't very well have that, can I?"
he asked. He was going to kill me.
"Brielle!"
Lincoln called out one final time, and I spun my head around to see him. He jumped. Bless his heart, he jumped the 20 feet, with broken wings and black bands around his upper arms. My heart lurched in my throat. If I had to watch him plummet to his death, I wouldn't survive. He sailed across the cavern, but he wasn't going to make it. It was short.
Oh God.
With a cry, he wiggled his arm out of the restricting band and at the last second caught the lip of the cavernous surface, barely holding himself up by the fingertips. I'd reached him now, the devil, the shit-for-brains asshole who'd ruined my life.
"Lincoln!"
I shouted behind me, tears falling down my face. I could no longer see him, didn't know if he was still hanging on. Lucifer spun me around, holding me tightly to his body, and placed the tip of his sword at my neck. My arms, my legs, everything was cement. I couldn't move, could barely even breathe.
"Say goodbye, Brielle,"
he taunted, as we walked backward, my feet dragging along the top of the wood floors as I fought my invisible restraints. Sarah was pulsing with power, but nothing was hurting him.
He was invincible. This is it. He's going to kill me. I didn't want to go out like that, be remembered like that. I looked right into Lincoln's eyes as he struggled to climb up over the edge. I love you, I told him, then met Shay's, Luke's, and Chloe's gazes as well. I love you all. In that moment, Lincoln burst up from the cavern with a roar and started running at us full throttle. Only one arm was freed, and so he wasn't able to do anything, not even hold a blade.
I don't think so, lover boy,
Lucifer trilled, then pulled the blade hard against my neck. Pain sliced along my skin as warm blood trickled down my shirt. Lincoln's grief-stricken face was the last thing I saw before the portal closed and everything went black. Suddenly, a cool hand clamped around my neck, and lights flared to life inside of the dark hell cave. My legs felt weak, and my head swam with the blood loss. I was totally dying. But that hand around my neck was colder and colder by the minute, and when I smelled the cinnamon and oil, that distinct smell of demon healer magic, I gasped a little. The Dark Prince swam into view, plucking Sarah from me and depositing her in a black charcoal-type box with symbols on it.
Rielle!
She shouted. I couldn't answer her. I was trying to figure out how I wasn't dead.
Oh, calm down. I didn't cut you deep enough to kill you, Lucifer admonished.
I was lowered to the ground by cool, firm hands and came face to face with a nubby horned healer demon. They were stark white in every aspect, skin, hair, and eyes, and very, very rare. It seemed Lucifer didn't want to create too many of them. As that cinnamon swell whirled around me and the magic worked its way into my neck, I found myself wondering why. Why would he do this? Fake my death?
Why?
I croaked. Lucifer grinned. He was devastatingly handsome, which sickened me. Reaching out, he booped my nose with a sharp fingernail.
Better to give them closure, little archdemon. You're never going to see them again.
Oh, God.
Rielle, what's happening?
Sarah begged. The box he'd put her in had somehow dulled her powers. She couldn't see or sense things. We're stuck in hell, forever. And all my friends think I'm dead. This has been Fallen Academy Year 2. Written by Leia Stone. Narrated by Vanessa Moyen. Copyright 2018 by Leia Stone. Production copyright 2018 by Leia Stone.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.